You're listening to Siren Radio, and it's time for another edition of Cultural Connections. And on this edition of Cultural Connections, we welcome, making his debut on the whole production, Associate Pro Vice Chancellor and Doctor of Philosophy, David Cobham. He's a computer expert as well, so great news from that perspective. Also joining us on the programme, we've got the fabulous Communications Officer, Antonio Ruiz Matos, joining us. So that's going to guide us through a number of things, including democracy in higher education, the importance of community voices, and challenging preconceptions. All great stuff. Do we mind? No. We take a Colin Blunston approach.
I realize that I've been, in your eyes, some kind of fool. What I do, what I did, stupid fish, I drank the pool. I've been doing some dying, now I'm doing some trying. So say, don't mind, let me off this time. I came into this scene when my dreams were getting bad. And who rides with the tide and who's glad with what it had? I've been doing some whining, now I'm doing some finding. So say, don't mind, you let me off this time. I'm blind, something inside, say you don't mind. Sees better times. That's a time to get back and think up some better line. I've been doing some growing, but I'm scared where you're going. So say you don't mind, you let me off this time. You let me off this time.
Always been impressed with how he hits the high note at the end there. Say you don't mind, Colin Blunston, your first choice, David.
Absolutely right, Sir Alex. So Colin Blunston, I came across Colin Blunston. I was very young. It was actually the first album that I bought, first piece of vinyl, and it was one of the old, I don't know, you'll probably remember this, you're a similar vintage, I'm sure, the old Arcade and Ronco and KTEL, before we had, now that's what I call music CDs. And so you'd buy this album, I bought this, I would have been about 11 or 12, I think. You'd buy it because it had all of the current chart hits on, but amongst it was this track by Colin Blunston, and it's always been a favourite of mine. I love the fact that it was a sort of a bluesy rock and roll song originally, but then he brought in all the strings and made it a bit of a combination of different styles.
And of course, you've seen him on tour as well.
They're still touring. He was the front man of the group called the Zombies in the 1960s, and I went and saw him last year in Norwich. They're still dancing around and living the whole rock and roll lifestyle. But yeah, fantastic to see they're still out there and doing the rock and roll bit.
Exactly. We just fade away, rock and rollers, or maybe not. Talk to us a bit about your connection with the University of Lincoln, David, because I've known you for a number of years. So we've gone back over study abroad periods with exchange students, KDU, Penang, all manner of aspects. How did you actually land in this benighted place?
Well, I came in the year 2000, so I'm kind of getting near a quarter of a century.
1993 for me, you see.
Right, there we go. So we're of a similar vintage. I remember being in one review session with it might have been Hefke or one of those bodies, and I found myself and Kevin Jakes, who's another long-standing citizen of this parish.
Amazing, we've survived, isn't it? And, really?
well, we prop each other up. That's the way we do it. One of the reviewers said, because they realised we kept jumping in and answering all the questions. They said, "You're obviously the old lags of the institution." And we sort of took it as a compliment at the time. But I came in 2000. I got a family of three children. They were all about to change from infant to juniors or junior to senior. So if there was ever a time to move a whole family, that was the time to do with minimal disruption. So I came up, always lived in the southeast, lived near London, came up to Lincoln and suddenly found this beautiful, idyllic, historic city, fell in love with it, and really since then, as you'll know, there's been so much change, so much development, so much growth that I guess almost every 4 or 5 years it feels like you're doing a new job because you're into the next big project, into the next development. So yes, a bit head of School of Computer Science for a lot of that time, and then more recently took over this role as Global Engagement Dean.
And doing a fine job there as well, despite the challenges of the institution and externally. So we'll talk more about that later. Let's turn, if we may, to Antonio, if we can. You haven't been here quite as long, but you were here as a customer before you actually became a gamekeeper, basically, shall we say. Yes. So talk to us about your own pathway. And where are you from originally?
Yes, I am from Spain, and I came to the University of Lincoln for the first time back in 2014 when I decided to study Erasmus. I thought England could be a good country to improve my English, and then I fall in love with the city and the people. I stayed here to study a master and then got a job at the university since 2018.
So there we are. You've been through the pandemic with us, which is always good from this point of view. Or maybe not. Your first choice of music, Antonio, would you like to share with us what we're about to listen to?
Yes, I chose Como Camarón from Estopa because I wanted to bring some of the Spanish culture to the conversation, and I hope you guys enjoy the music.
Superior a mí es la fuerza que me lleva en el pulso que mantengo con la oscuridad que tienen de oscuro tus ojos negros y que me cuentas del tiempo que pasa en tu pestañeo y que me trae por esta calle de amargura y de lamento. Que yo sé que la sonrisa que se dibuja en mi cara tiene que ver con la brisa que abanica tu mirada tan despacio y tan deprisa, tan normal y tan extraña. Yo me parto la camisa como camarón. Tú me rompes las entrañas, me trepas como una araña, bebes de sudor. Y después por la mañana despierto y no tengo alas. Llevo 10 horas durmiendo y mi almohada está empapada. Todavía ha sido un sueño muy real y muy profundo. Tus ojos no tienen dueño porque no son de este mundo. Que no te quiero mirar, pero es que cierro los ojos y hasta te veo por dentro. Te veo en un lado y en otro, en cada foto, en cada espejo. Y en las paredes del metro y en los ojos de la gente, hasta en la sopa más caliente, loco, yo me estoy volviendo. Que yo sé que la sonrisa que se dibuja en mi cara tiene que ver con la brisa que abanica tu mirada tan despacio y tan deprisa, tan normal y tan extraña. Yo me parto la cara.
Todavía ha sido un sueño muy real y muy profundo. Tus ojos no tienen dueño porque no son de este mundo. Y a veces me confundo y pico a tu vecina, esa del segundo que vende cosas finas. Y a veces te espero en el bar de la esquina con la mirada fija en tu portería. Y a veces me tomo de un bocado el mundo. Y a veces te siento y a veces te tumbo. A veces te leo un beso en los labios. Y como yo no me atrevo, me corto y me abro. Que yo sé que la sonrisa que se dibuja en mi cara tiene que ver con la brisa que abanica tu mirada tan despacio y tan deprisa. Tan normal y tan extraña, yo me parto la camisa como camarón. Tú me rompes las entrañas, me trepas como una araña, bebes del sudor que empaña el cristal de mi habitación. Y después por la mañana despierto y no tengo alas. Llevo 10 horas durmiendo y mi almohada está empapada. Todavía ha sido un sueño muy real y muy profundo. Tus ojos no tienen dueño porque no son de este mundo.
Excellent and very energetic, it has to be said. Presumably best performed with a couple of castanets, maybe. Maybe not. I don't go into clichés. OK, our first topic of conversation in Cultural Connections today, democracy in higher education. Now, there are people, I'm sure, who will listen to this who will say, what? Democracy? Ridiculous. It's a nonsense. Do we still actually believe in that notion, David? Because, I mean, we seem to live in an era where, you know, consistently we have political leaders from all kinds of countries who speak or speak about democracy. They talk the talk. Do they walk the walk?
I think there are very challenging times, aren't they? Because the whole role and purpose of universities, there have been times when that's been quite high up in the public conscience and in political discussions. Really, at the moment, where universities' involvement is discussed, it tends to be more around particular political leanings and perhaps, you know, our purpose is more seen in that context. I think there's probably two ways I would look at it. One is sort of internally, you know, what do we do inside the university for social governance and giving people a voice? And I think certainly Lincoln's got a terrific record for bringing students into discussions, having their voice heard, whether it's subject committees or attending university committees. So, you know, we've got a good reputation there of encouraging students to see the democratic process from within, and then hopefully they will then graduate and leave and take, you know, that will be a sort of springboard for them to go forwards. You know,
well, this is it, because clearly we are hopefully producing the leaders, the civic folk of tomorrow and so on. It is a civic mission that certainly was established long before the current Vice-Chancellor. Antonia, from your own perspective, as a student, have you experienced what David's just described there? Is it something which you feel now you're in communications and effectively having to be a mouthpiece for the College of Arts and Social Sciences and Humanities? Is that COASH? I think that's basically all the acronyms in this particular moment, so that's fine. Is that something which you think, yeah, I'll go along with this, or is it a case of sometimes you shrug your shoulders and think, well, okay, I'll just take this and do what we have to do?
Well, I think it's very important for us as a university to be an example for our students, and everything that we show them now, it will help them in their future careers. So if we can embrace democracy and important values like diversity, inclusion, and equality, it will be a good teaching and learning environment for them. From my perspective, everything I try to do in communications, I always try to bring the student voice on board. So for example, last year, when we were reviewing our services, we called a few student focus groups to discuss with them the way they wanted to be communicated. Mm. So I think it's very important that we hear our students and we learn from them, because they got loads and loads to say.
Coping with students who might possibly be a bit cynical because they feel, yeah, they talk about listening to our voice and yet there's no evidence that they actually act on that. Is that a challenge you've been faced with?
I can only speak from my experience. Anytime I have tried to listen to students to improve our services, we have heard them and we are trying to implement their ideas. So, for example, last year, when we were reviewing our newsletter, they said that they wouldn't like to read a physical newsletter or a digital newsletter. They would prefer a podcast. Mm. So we are now working on implementing a student-led podcast for our students.
Yeah. Siren Radio is podcasting since 2008. That's supposed to show an asset that maybe communications hasn't been aware of. David, from your own line, we are heading to a revolution, a Handsworth revolution. I was curious in terms of your rationale for this, surviving, of course, Steel Pulse. Was it a computer-based scenario we got here? Is it a kind of, you know, we are entering the age of AI, the age of the machine is upon us, we actually need to work through this? Share with us, why have you gone for this particular number for your second choice?
So my second choice, so this is a group called Steel Pulse. If you like, in my musical journey, we've sort of moved to the late teen years, so I was sort of 17, 18 in 1977 with all the punk revolution and, you know, people
and Blondie.
setting up their own bands. And it's interesting because on the one hand, you had that very much sort of noisy, anarchistic guitar kind of cacophony going on. Mm. But then alongside that, when I used to go and watch bands in London, whenever there was a gap between bands, the people, they would always play reggae music in between. And so, you know, building up from that Bob Marley and the established music, you suddenly had these second generation people from ethnic minorities in Britain saying, well, actually, we want to have our voice and express through that music in that way. So Steel Pulse, Handsworth is a district of Birmingham where they're from, and they're singing this song about their where they're from, but also, you know, how they can have their voice in Britain.
a scenario without siren radio. Turn up everyone, save a siren sound. Siren radio. From Lincoln to Miami, Paris to LA, our global community wants to hear it play. Students participate, keep on keeping on, keep on keeping on,
sorry,
keep on keeping on,
sorry,
keep on keeping on.
And it's Cultural Connections on Siren Radio with Dr. David Coppen and wonderful Antonio Ruiz Matos. Whereabouts in Spain do you emerge from, Antonio? Which, because it's a big land, and obviously, you know, I don't want to sort of confuse my Basque area with my separatist movements and so on and so forth. So,
no, I am from Malaga, the very south
right.
of the country.
Yeah, so very much sort of focused on that side of things. Excellent. And most folk actually would say the weather is the first thing that impacts them when they actually come to Britain. Was that something which you kind of were aware of? Did you come with full thermal gear ready?
I was aware of the weather change, but I didn't expect this much. So just to give you an example, I think during Christmas here in Lincoln it was around 5-6 degrees. In Malaga it was around 23-24 degrees, so felt like summer in the UK.
It's all relative in all sorts of ways. Okay, community voices. I mean, we're on a community radio station, fairly self-evidently, Siren Radio, Lincoln's first community radio station. David, universities, even back in the time of Erasmus, and I often feel, what would Erasmus think about the cancellation of the Erasmus programme, which again was a huge issue, but that's another issue entirely, which I have to say the University of Lincoln had nothing to do with Brexit, at least not that I'm aware of, but who knows, current management. In terms of the overall sequence, how do we engage the community? How do we... I mean, if we look back at the strategy that Dominic Cummings adopted to get 3 million voices to actually, you know, feel as though they were engaged... It's easy to sit in a studio, to sit in a boardroom, to sit in a meeting and say, oh, it's very important, we community mission, engagement, civic responsibility, etc. How do we translate those from words into deeds?
Well, just picking up on your points about Erasmus, actually, because part of that was clearly all about bringing people from other countries and other cultures to come and join us here and us to return and go and visit those countries as well. And that is a hot topic at the moment. There's a big campaign to perhaps reassociate with that Erasmus scheme. I think, you know, for me, my role, I've obviously had a deep involvement in that.
And so many great students came along and still are connected with that.
And that connection does endure. I mean, I've always felt that there should be a more of an alumni sense of being an exchange student. You know, the fact that you might only be here for a semester, your voice is heard, that contribution's made. And actually, many of those people go back and, you know, Antonio, you've done the decent thing and come back yes. to here full time. But actually, even people...
Why?
even people that don't, you know, they have that warmth for Lincoln and Lincolnshire. So just on the replacement for that, the Turing scheme, I mean, there are a lot of criticisms about the Turing scheme. One thing that it has been very effective at, though, is targeting widening participation for students and actually really making sure that where the opportunity to fund the exchange of those voices, if you like, where that happens, we can target it at people that fall into those underrepresented criteria. So I think we're up at sort of over 80% of the students that have had the opportunity to travel come from a widening participation background, which I think is fantastic. But yeah, again, universities, it's all about having that international community and sharing those voices. And I think, yeah, with Lincoln being a small city in a huge geographical rural area, again, we have an important role to play in communicating with that local community, letting them know what we do, solving problems for the local community, bringing them on campus and hearing their voice as well. So, I think that's student mobility has got an important role to play in that as
and,
well.
And clearly I can sense, and I know you well enough, David, to know you're very passionate about this and you're very forceful, rightly so, in terms of developing this. Are there any frustrations? Because, I mean, we've both, I think, served under 4 vice chancellors. You possibly have had three. Was Roger King in place when you were there?
I started the day after Roger King finished. So
there you go.
Those ships passed exactly. In the night, Alex. Only three vice chancellors.
Yeah, so there we are. Roger King, yeah. David Chidick, yeah. Obviously Mary Stewart, and now Neil Juster. We're leading from the top, and I'm conscious that if you're listening, Professor Juster, you know, you've been on the show, you realise we actually talk about these subjects. Do you feel that it does matter who actually takes that in terms of more than just empty rhetoric, that actually an engagement, a process there, you feel as though there is a connection? How important do you think the role of the Vice-Chancellor actually is in terms of being the CEO for an organisation?
I mean, obviously, Vice-Chancellor role is crucial, because that's where the message comes from originally. You know, that you need to feel a sense of direction. You need to feel that you can hear the mission and then hopefully sign up to the mission. So again, from my particular standpoint, with a particular role in internationalisation, you know, you want to hear that from the top, that this is something that universities really signed up to, whether it's internationalising our own students' experience when students come to Lincoln, or as we send them overseas to get international experiences. So you want to hear that from the top. Again, in my role, I've been fortunate because, if you like, from the university strategy, it's just one step to the internationalisation strategy. Mm. I've had the privilege to be able to develop that and write that, and working with Ola and other colleagues to, you know, what does it actually mean when we operationalise it? You know, are things actually happening on the ground? And again, you know, Ola and other colleagues have been terrific supports in saying, well, okay, here are the grand words. What are we actually going to do to make this stuff happen? And that's where I am very much engaged at the moment, is helping colleagues to unpick the mission, but make it actually work down in the schools and colleges.
And indeed, practically putting into operation programmes like this, which Ola and myself came up with a couple of years ago, and has proven to be, again, a very popular, very important and significant aspect.
And this medium, this format of communicating is so important, because it's yes, a lot of our own community listen, but people beyond our community listen as well. Mm. So actually sharing these messages is a really important vehicle to get our ambitions out and to our intentions out widely.
And available as a podcast. Let's move back to Antonio. Antonio, two vice chancellors for yourself. Yes. Mary Stewart. Because there's always the pandemic period, which we all went through, that we just love, actually, those Teams meetings and so on,
yes.
Which is still there. Any thoughts from yourself on how does it compare with the situation in Spain in terms of that, where you're dealing with the community? Or is it a case of, well, I don't know, Spain goes through a whole variety of aspects in terms of its perception?
I think in Spain it is slightly different because, in my opinion...
You're still in the European Union, for instance. That's one important thing.
Yes, that's what I was about to say, that Brexit has impacted this a lot. And it's a shame in that sense, because I think it was a very good choice for students from Europe to come here to Lincoln and the UK. Mm. It was a great way to learn a new culture and improve their English skills, that it's a very important skill to have worldwide. From my perspective, I'm going back about engaging students. I remember when I came here as Erasmus, it was a very hot day in Spain, and my mom came to me with a parcel that I received for the University of Lincoln. And it was an amazing parcel with loads of freebies inside, a lot of wonderful information about what I could expect from Lincoln. I think it was a very, very good thing to engage me before I even started my Erasmus course.
And thankfully, human beings actually were able to send you that in the post, as opposed to being locked in a system which effectively hadn't been stress tested beforehand. But that's another line entirely in terms of, we won't talk about recruitments and other issues. It's a computer issue, basically. I'm sure you'll be aware, David.
Computer says maybe. But as you say, Alex, I can remember back to that sort of era where we actually recruited very large numbers of European students to come and do the final year here in the UK. We're not just talking about exchange, you know, that sort of progression on and do the final year here. Huge numbers.
Yes.
And of course, various factors that has diminished quite significantly. So not least the fees issue, where, you know, students could just come here and pay a fairly nominal fee. Now it's the international fee or some something approaching that is causing.
Which is not good news by any stretch of the imagination, and we can just hope and pray that obviously something will turn around in the cyclical nature of life. Next choice of music, your second choice of music actually, which you've put together for us, Antonio. I thought initially it was a mathematical formula. I thought, but it's more than that, isn't it? So go with it. What is it? What are we about to listen to?
I think, if I'm not wrong, we
Rosalia.
Yes, we are about to hear a song from kind of South American music. Mm-hmm. I thought it was a good idea to bring South American music into the show as well.
Global South as well as Global North. Very yes. Impressive.
Colgando del cuello los juguetes.
Del cuello los juguetes.
Rodeado de flores y billetes.
Flores y billetes.
Estamos worldwide a machete.
Sí, sí.
Y mira Bang Bang si con nosotros te entromete.
Pa, pa, pa.
No quieres que lo apriete.
Claro.
Me da igual si tu amor me compromete.
Nah. Me da igual.
Contigo he puesto tu número 7.
Somos dos cantantes como los de antes. El respeto en boletos y diamantes. Se me para el corazón loco mirarte. Porque a ti te canto pa' que tú me cantes.
Yo por ti, tú por mí. Yo por ti, tú por mí. Yo por ti, tú por mí.
Yo por ti, tú por mí. Yo por ti, tú por mí. Yo por ti, tú por mí.
Póngalo, billete.
Yo por ti, tú por mí. Yo por ti, tú por mí. Yo por ti, tú por mí.
Yo por ti, tú por mí. Yo por ti, tú por mí.
Y yo por ti, tú por mí, ¿quién lo diría? Eres única, mamacita Rosalía. Tiene el poder que mi mente desvía. Yo por ti por ahí me tiraría. Tiene lo que otra no tenía. Muy diferente a lo que de ti me decían. Choque con tu química, que suelte la mía. Lo que tengo lo gastaría porque tus ojos me brillarían. Y es que, ¿quién lo diría? Canta en la esquina, este sazón sonaría. Choque con tu química, que suelte la mía. Lo que tengo lo gastaría porque tus ojos y brillarían. Yeah.
Somos dos cantantes como los de antes. El respeto es en boletos y diamantes. Se me para el corazón loco mirarte. Busca tu canto pa' que tú me cantes.
Somos dos cantantes como los de antes. El respeto en boletos y diamantes. Se me para el corazón loco mirarte. Porque a ti te canto pa' que tú me cantes.
Tú por mí, yo por ti, tú por mí, yo por ti, tú por mí.
Yo por ti, tú por mí, yo por ti, tú por mí, yo por ti, tú por mí.
Así sea.
Yo por ti, tú por mí, yo por ti, tú por mí, yo por ti, tú por mí.
Yo por ti, tú por mí, yo por ti, tú por mí, yo por ti, tú por mí.
Yo por ti, tú por mí, yo por ti, tú por mí, yo por ti, tú por mí.
Yo por ti, tú por mí, yo por ti, tú por mí, yo por ti, tú por mí. La Rosalía, mira, ¿quién lo diría? Que tal la esquina esta sazón sonaría. ¿Quién lo diría? Que tal la esquina esta sazón sonaría. Por ti, ¿quién lo diría? Que tal la esquina esta sazón sonaría. ¿Quién lo diría?
Rosalía and Osana? I think so. Great stuff there. Okay. Thank you, Antonio. Of course, you are Senior College Communications Officer. For people who are listening to this, so what does that mean then, Senior College Communications Officer? I mean, does that mean you have the ultimate final say in the COASH newsletter? Share with us what you do.
Well, my job is to try to engage staff and students with our college communications. So we got different systems and channels in place to help achieve that. So as you rightly said, we have the staff newsletter that goes out every 2 weeks as a nice opportunity for colleagues to shout out what they do. Mm. We also have emails going out when they need to be out. We also have staff events like Caffeine Collective as an opportunity for colleagues to take a break during the day, have a coffee, have a cake.
Maybe it should be a non-caffeine alternative, really, because, I mean, yes, obviously the caffeine thing can be problematic, really.
There is orange juice as well.
Yeah, it's good.
And tea.
Yeah. Herbal tea, I press, you know, that's always important. David, if memory serves, you also are a bit of a performer as well when it comes to music. You have been part of a band, I recall, back in the day.
This building has housed a number of musical enterprises over the years. But I've occasionally been drawn into other people's activities. But certainly Brian Rudd was very, very keen to keep
absolutely
the staff music side going, wasn't he? And Dave McSherry and others. So
Richard Keeble also was on keyboards.
Yes, that's right. I was incredibly impressed with Dave McSherry. I mean, Dave McSherry is a proper musician that's had some fantastic, well-known music published and released. But I can remember we did a fundraising event up at what's now the UTC, what was the Greystone building up the hill, and I think the bass guitarist had dropped out, and they said, "Yeah, could I just fill in at the last minute?" I was so impressed because Dave McSherry played all of the keyboards for the band, like the Roxy Music and Mott the Hoople, all those sort of very kind of big sound
classic 70s K-Tel bands.
Yes, all that glam sort of 70s sound, and he did it all on his Apple iPhone. If you went to a concert, you'd see his keyboards all around you, and he just had this tiny little device and made all this fantastic music for it. So yeah, absolute star, Dave McSherry. Those sort of fundraisers that we kind of did a lot of those events through the years.
Maybe we need to return to them in all sorts of ways. That's another issue for another time. Okay, we're at the fourth feature, basically, where we ask each of our guests to actually name one aspect of Lincoln that they found either unusual, charming, or frankly downright incomprehensible since actually coming to the university. I suppose since it was being built, really, because clearly things like the Isaac Newton building didn't exist. It was a car park, I think, when that was there. This was the second building, the Alfred Tennyson building, to be put together.
Right.
So, David, you shared earlier that you moved your family up here. Was it the concept of yellow belly? I mean, I find that very difficult to actually think. Why refer to people as yellow bellies?
That's right. Absolutely. So was that to do with the cummerbund that the sort of nobility used to wear, has that been disputed?
Heard that. I've also heard that it could be simply because of the lying in the sun on the sort of backs that caused a sort of tanning.
Lounging around in the fields, clearly.
Certainly.
I mean, going back to when I first visited, when I came for my interview, there were only three buildings at that point, as you say, the main sort of Minerva building, the one that we're in now, the Tennyson building, and the science one across the railway.
Yeah.
So from three to goodness knows, I wouldn't even better say how many buildings have gone up in. It's more than one a year, I would think, in that time. Huge changes in the campus. I think you mentioned Isaac Newton building, so I was on the panel that helped to design that, so I'm guilty for some of those.
Well, compared to the apparent illogic of the architecture building, where I believe it was based to represent a ship.
Yeah, I think I heard that.
That was the line there, which I mean, a ship that's kind of just struck an iceberg, perhaps. But that's right.
But what might be interesting that I found in that design process, that it actually sits on top of a small stream. So, you have that water that's sort of by the sports centre and then it comes under the flyover and then there's the sort of the pond outside the Isaac. It actually goes under the Isaac Newton building and eventually ends up what would be where the library now is. And on some of the old, if you look at some of the old black and white pictures, you can see barges that have been brought from the Witham and then almost to the front door of what's now the library, so they could add their load. So that was in that design process, working out how the stream went underneath the building was an interesting.
Well, I think the greening of the campus was the buzzword that we were using at that stage. A David Chittick line. Of course, there is that other line which I've often been using with students, that when we first came down here and we travelled down by cane coachloads, basically, right about 95, 96, this was a toxic waste dump. So there we are.
Yes.
Maybe we're going full circle. That's another thing. What about yourself, Antonio? I mean, anything that from when you were a student or even now, which you just think, those Lincoln people...
Well, the thing I was impressed the most with when I came is the cathedral. I was amazed that I could see the cathedral from anywhere in the city, and it's such a stunning view. For me, that's the thing I loved the most about Lincoln. As an international student, that everything was so close, it was such a huge Advantage and Reason to Come to Lincoln.
Excellent. Okay, so from discussing experiences on to an English rock band who were formed in Abingdon, Oxfordshire in 1985, comprising Tom York, Johnny Greenwood, Colin Greenwood, Ed O'Brien and Philip Selway.
So Radiohead, so again, I think would probably be my favourite group of all time. So, a group that's evolved and produced vastly different styles of music from when they started to where things sort of went a bit more quiet more recently. And I've asked if we could have the selection here, which is Airbag from the album OK Computer, which is kind of very much about technology and how it impinges on our lives. So very much kind of close to my heart.
Caroline Williams will be very impressed that you've gone for that.
Absolutely.
She may have left the institution, but she's still part of the whole sequence, really.
Excellent, absolutely. But the song itself, it's all about an airbag saved my life, but it's more about kind of those moments you have in life where something really significant happens and it makes a complete shift and you see the world perhaps in a different way. So that's Airbag.
So dealing with collision, stress and all sorts of things.
And what
happens
next?
So strange too, exactly. What might be happening in all sorts of ways. Here it comes. Professor Ola Oganyemi, your task now is quite simple, or is it? Five tunes that have been selected by two fabulous individuals, of course, Professor David Cobham and, of course, the communications, Senior College Communications Officer Antonio Rios Matos. Which one gets your vote? Are you going Colin Bluntstone? Are you going Radiohead? Are you going Estopia? Are you going Rosalio and Azuna? Are you going Handsworth Revolution? Where are you going to point the listener for our final track?
Well, it's a difficult task, to be candid. I've listened to some fantastic music. Some of them I've never heard before, to be candid, but they are very good. They touch you in different ways, you know. It's always good. That's what the virtue of these cultural connections, when you bring people from different countries, you know, from different tastes, you know, to come and express, you know, what they enjoy. So it's a pleasure to listen to all of this. So thanks to the participants for, you know, good choice of music. I think the one that probably touched me the most could be the second one by David.
Really?
Steel Pulse?
Yes. The hands were Steel Pulse.
Yes.
Extraordinary. Yeah. What can I say? Suddenly, you know, a combination of Nigeria and Handsworth sort of obviously trumps the Spanish thing. Obviously, that's your decision, Ola. We yes. stand by it. We abide by it. That's all great stuff. So we'll be going out with the Handsworth Revolution, or just Handsworth Revolution, Steel Pulse, in a few moments. David, have you enjoyed your first Cultural Connections?
Always a joy to be with you, Alex, and on Siren FM. And yes, had a great time today. Thank you so much for inviting me.
And your debut, of course, Antonio, how has it been for you?
It has been fantastic. So thank you guys for inviting me.
Antonio Ruiz Matos and Professor David Cobham, huge thanks. Keep on keeping on. And of course, Ola as well. Thank you. Here comes Steel Pulse. My brethren.